Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 97. And today we're talking about how to find the structure for your sermon. And by that, I mean a structure that's actually within the passage. So not a topical sermon, really. Here, we're talking about an exegetical kind of a sermon. So we take a paragraph, a whole chapter, a section of scripture, and we're looking for the structure that is already there. Not one that we just like and want to impose on the passage, but one that's within the passage. And this is very helpful for several reasons. First, it gives our sermon authenticity, I believe. Secondly, it helps people later, when they go back to that passage, they may well still remember and see the same structure that we saw, and that may help them to remember the things we were talking about and the things that actually are very important because they're already in the passage. So how do we find that? Now, I was thinking about that recently because I was preaching on Acts chapter 1. It's a long chapter. Where is the structure within it? And I decided to go back to a tried and tested technique back in the day, and I've used this many times, but not so much recently. And I thought, let me go back to it. I first recorded this idea of how to do this back in 2013. It was my third ever Tuesday teaching tip, and you can find that on my YouTube channel, Looking at the Landscape, it's called, in 2013. And I also talked about structure in 2016 in an episode called How to Find the Structure. But what I want to do is go back to that one from 2013 and revisit it, which is what I did for this particular sermon. So what did I do? Well, what I suggest in that episode, and I did recently again, is to print your whole passage on one sheet of A4 in landscape form. So take a piece of landscape, make a document into a landscape shape, and print it with two columns, with the first column on this side. Let me show you my example here. The whole text is there. That's the whole of Acts chapter 1. It is very small font, but that doesn't really matter for the purposes of structure. By the way, this is assuming you've already done your Bible study. You've studied the passage. You've understood it better. You've got some insights. We've already done that. We look for the structure later on. We do the preparation of the actual text first. But having done that, then I've got my Acts chapter 1 on this side. And then with my ruler and red pen, so one needs something like that, a ruler and a red pen or whatever you like. I have drawn some vertical columns. You can see those there. I've drawn those there to give me at least three or four options for structure, because I like to find more than one. And then I can choose the one that I think makes most sense of the passage, but also might be the structure that helps my audience, depending on who I'm speaking to. So I've done three columns there with a fourth for extra notes on the end there. And the reason I do several columns and try to look for different structures is to make sure that I'm being creative in my thinking and open-minded. And so I've looked for where is the introduction? It could be the very beginning here. It could be this section of scripture here. It could be the larger section of scripture here. Three possible introductory passages ranging from Acts 1 verse 1 and 2 is one option, then verses 1, 2, and 3 is another option, and then all the way to verse 4 is another option. Then I'm looking for other passages or other sections within. What are the natural breaks of attention, of drama, of action, of speech? And you can do it in more than one place here. And as you can see, I've got my horizontal lines in different places in this passage. And I know you can't read it. I'm only showing you this as an illustration. And even if you could read the font, you wouldn't be able to read my handwriting, I'm sure, because it is absolutely appalling. But that's all right, because I was just jotting things down for my own benefit, not for anybody else to look at. It's just that now I look back on it, I think this could be useful to share. And so I've written different things down here about the expectations and the longings and why they gathered together. I've circled Holy Spirit when it comes up in the text here to remind myself of the significance of the Spirit. Three sections here that I got prompted by a commentary I read, although it's my own ideas, but Jesus's ministry on earth is revised in this section here in Acts chapter 1, then Jesus's last days on earth before his ascension is a section there, and then the focus shifts to Judas as a character, although but you could say Peter, as they choose to replace Judas as an apostle. So Judas's what have I got there? Fate and replacement. Choosing church leaders is a possible theme there. Congregational involvement is significant towards the end of that passage. And there's various ideas I've jotted on here. And as I did that, it helped me to come to terms with or get clearer in my mind what is the point of Acts chapter 1? What is the actual point and what is the natural structure? And finally, after doing that, it suddenly hit me with all these different options that, as I wrote on the top up here, the whole point of this chapter to me is how the Spirit prepared the church to act. How the Spirit prepared the church to act. And I saw three natural sections here, apart from a brief introduction at the beginning. One was the refining of the apostles and disciples' understanding of what they needed. They wanted to know about times and dates, and Jesus said, you just got to wait for the power I'm going to send. So you need to know what you need. If you're going to be a church ready to act, know what you need. You need power more than you need the right circumstances or knowledge or understanding. The second thing we see is that they devoted themselves to prayer. They go upstairs. Jesus has just left. The last time at the cross, what did they do when Jesus left in that sense and died? They all ran away. They were scared. They went back to their fishing. What do they do this time he departs? Now they understand things better. They go and pray. They're not ready to act yet. They know that. So they go and do what they've been told, which is to wait for the power, and they go and pray. They devote themselves to prayer. That's a great way to prepare yourself for God to act through you and your church. And thirdly, they made godly decisions. They realized the decision had to be made. They reflected on scripture. Peter sees insight in Old Testament scripture that no one has seen before him. And they go through a process to choose. And of course, the way they choose the replacement one, Matthias, is not the same way they make decisions all the way through the book of Acts, but it's an interesting one. And they make godly decisions by allowing God to help them to make that decision and being prayerful beforehand. And it seems to me those are three super things that the Spirit does for them, but also can do for us today, that we understand and get refined in our motives as to what we really need. We need God's power, that we do devote ourselves to prayer, and that if there are decisions to be made, we make them in a godly way to get us ready to be the witnesses that Jesus talks about in this passage, the witnesses of the gospel, the witnesses to him and the good news. So, but anyway, my sermon isn't really the point, but the way I reached it, I found it very refreshing and helpful just to, again, just print it all out. I mean, sometimes we need to go old school. Paper and pen and rulers and things like that. What helps you? What helps you to find the structure within a passage? Have you tried this? Maybe this is something for you to try if you've not already done it this way. Are there other techniques that you use to find the structure within a passage? I would love to know, and so would all the people that listen and watch these recordings. So please, could you leave a comment? Leave a comment wherever you see or hear this recording. We all need to learn from each other because we learn best when we learn in community. And also, if you wouldn't mind, pass this recording on to one other person. Just copy the link, paste it into an email, onto a WhatsApp or a text, and send it to somebody else that you think might benefit from it so that we can spread these ideas and, again, learn from one another. Thank you so much. I hope you have fun finding the structure within the passage you're going to be preaching on next. Let me know how it goes. I think mine was received well. I preached it in Watford in the morning and Thames Valley in the afternoon. Seemed to have a positive effect. And I think the structure was clear, and I think it did justice to the passage. At least I do. If you differ in your opinion, you can let me know. So until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.